You're listening to the newest episode of Adrift, written and read by Doyce Testerman. Every few days, we'll bring you another installment of the story, as it's written, as part of an insane overcomplication of what should be a simple first draft writing project. I'd like to invite you to come by my website, doycetesterman.com, to join in the conversation, or you can contact me directly at doyce@doycetesterman.com. With all that said, let's get back to the story. John glowered at nothing in particular and kept out of sight of random passerby as much as possible. I sat on the step of the shop, trying to rest as much as I could, though it was impossible to relax without moving something that made my whole body flinch. The pain was more tiring than the final hike had been. Only Bilibil stood in plain view of the larger building, shifting back and forth on her back legs. All of us nervous, for different reasons, and all of us showing it in different ways. We didn't have long to wait. The front door of the bulbous house opened and Tora came out, preceding the shop girl by several steps. She was wrapped in flowing silks that trailed behind her and made the painted colors of the small shop look positively sedate. Her hair was down, pulled back in a casual queue, and, John's sarcasm notwithstanding, she looked like a queen. "Andy," she called out as she crossed the distance to us. She was smiling, which was a thing I had forgotten without realizing I had. "I was getting worried about you." She stepped up to the Bilibil, taking a middle paw in each of her hands. "How's the little one?" Our guide, Andy, bobbed her head. "Jit makes safeties surrounding the child. I believe she will be strong." "Like her daddy," Tora said, winking. The Bilibil chirruped a laugh. "Daddy?" I couldn't stop myself, blurting out a surprised exclamation instead of any one of a dozen better greetings that I'd thought up over the years. Tora looked at me, then back at Bilibil. Andy. Her. Him. My head hurt. "The Bilibil are androgynous," she said. Her smile was gentle. "They often identify with both genders over their lifetime, and can father or bear young." She let go of Andy's hands, stepped forward, and hugged him, face buried in the gray fur. "Or both," she said, stepping back and turning toward me. "But Andy has always felt very masculine and fatherly to me," she said, walking in my direction. "Like someone else I know." She stepped in front of me. "You look like hell, by the way." "So I gather." I looked up from my seat on the steps. "You look amazing," I said, which wasn't a lie. Her skin was smooth as a teenager's, lighter than mine, but still a deep tan despite almost 2 decades in the drift. "I know," she said. "Stand up, let me look at you." The low alto of her voice woke up long defunct areas in my head. I pushed myself to my feet, trying to hide the grimace that the effort cost me, even in the light gravity. "Oh." She reached up and stroked my face, her expression that of sympathy for a child who had fallen and skinned their knee for the first time. "What have you been doing to him, John?" He stirred from the side of the shop where he had been leaning. "Saved his life a couple times." He sniffed loudly, then cleared his throat. "Or a couple dozen. I stopped counting. Gets boring after a few years." "Oh, I'm sure," she said. Her lips smiled, her eyes didn't, and only I was close enough to notice. "I'm a little surprised you let him come back here." I couldn't tell whether she was talking about the drift or her home. John pushed his hands into his pockets. "He didn't give me much choice." I had no doubt which one he was talking about. "Hmm." She looked up at the swaying plants overhead. "We should go inside," she said to me. John cleared his throat and her eyes narrowed a millimeter in annoyance. "Inside the shop," she clarified. "Tently, bring John and Andy something to drink from the house. I'll get..." John cleared his throat again, but Tora didn't react. "I'll get together some medicine." She went up the steps and into the shop. I followed and didn't look back. Tora cupped my face again once she closed the door. I leaned into the contact, but she lowered her hand and moved behind the counter before I could step any closer. "It's dangerous here for you," she said. "It's dangerous here for everyone," I replied, my eyes traveling over the well-stocked shelves and fragrant hanging foliage. "Maybe not you." "Also for me," she said. She pulled down several jars and plucked leaves from specific plants. "Tell me if I'm putting together the right mix. You stayed out too long in some bad weather without your hat and mittens?" "Something like that," I said. "Had to jump from one ship to another getting down here." She paused for several seconds, standing with her back to me before shaking her head and resuming her mixing. "How long were you out?" "John said about 12 hours, I answered. She clucked her tongue. You're lucky then. She turned back to me, holding up a slick, silvery pouch. Before you sleep, and when you wake up, put a heavy pinch in water, cold or hot, doesn't matter. Let it soak. Drink the water, and chew on the dregs until they stop tasting bitter or your tongue goes numb. Then spit it out. I took the pouch. It isn't why I came, but thank you. She looked at me, her eyes contemplative. Why did you come, Finn? I pocketed the pouch, which gave me time to get enough will to meet her eyes. Caitlin sent a message. Ah. She looked as though she'd expected the answer. That explains why you're on Gallimaufry. Not why you're in my shop. I don't think Caitlin would leave word with me. There was nothing to say to that wouldn't sting old wounds. I'm looking for Mac. And Mac moves, she said, and I don't. Again, there wasn't much I could say. I tried anyway. I wanted to see you. Oh, I believe that, she said, moving around the counter and coming close to me, and I'm glad for it. She lifted her arms, resting the palms of her hands against the side of my neck and stroking her fingers over my skin. You came back to the drift, and once you did, you came here. She raised up on her toes and kissed me, her lips barely touching mine. I was so out of practice I forgot to kiss back and missed my chance. But there's only one woman you'd come back here for, Finn. And it's not me. I opened my mouth to protest, but nothing came out. She shook her head, looking down, and laid one finger across my lips. Let's go back outside before John kicks the door in.
Took long enough, John said. He stood next to Billabill, Andy, who was drinking something from a deep bowl he held in two hands.
It took as long as it took, Tora replied, walking down the steps ahead of me. Undoing the damage you two do to yourselves takes time.
He said.
He looked away, but she walked up to him and waited until he turned back. There's enough medicine for both of you, she said, so take it. Don't be stupid just because you're tough. He tried to stare her down and failed.
Fine. He looked at me. Did we find Mac?
I'm hoarding that information, Tora said before I could answer. Give your big sister a hug and I'll share. John's scowl deepened. He looked back at her.
Wouldn't imagine you'd settle for cheap payment like that.
Well, she held out her arms. You're stupid. Still frowning, John bent and put his arms around her in a careful embrace, as though he was afraid she would crumble. She cinched her hands around his back and gave him a squeeze that forced the air out of him.
Fuck! Ow! Take it easy!
She relented slightly, but still held on.
Missed you, she said.
He dipped his head.
Me too,
he replied, his voice especially gruff. They held on to one another for a few more seconds, then stepped back. John cleared his throat. Tora sniffed and wiped at one eye.
Right. Time to get you boys out of here.
Thanks for listening to this installment of Adrift, written and read by Doyce Testerman. This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.com. Adrift was first conceived as a serialized flash fiction story told 140 characters at a time via Twitter, and in fact continues today and every day as an ongoing story. You can check it out on Twitter at www.twitter.com/finris or on my website at doystesterman.com/adrift. Our intro music is Invisible Walls by Revolution Void off their album Increase the Dosage, available from Jamendo.com. Our outro music is Struttin' by Triad, also available from Jamendo.com. There are many people to thank for their help and input on this project, but the two I'd like to specifically mention are my wife Kate and Tim White, perhaps best known in this arena for his Return to Northmoor podcast. Without their help and support, this project simply would not exist. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
To the Walls Podcast. chains get it all for free. Major labels don't get me. Contracts kiss my industry. I'll sing the system to its knees.